Pastor Ray Bentley explains the difference between real faith and a faith veneer.
Actual faith, and the kind of faith that saves, that delivers, the kind of faith that brings the miraculous, is faith that does something. Okay, God, when you open the way, when you part the Red Sea, when you do the miracle, then I'll follow. And God is saying, actually, I'm ready to do the miracle, but I need you to step into the water.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. When you go to a flea market or a swap meet, you've got to watch out for the knockoffs. If you see a Louis Vuitton purse for 10 bucks, Louis probably had nothing to do with it. Today, Pastor Ray brings us a lesson from the book of Joshua on how to make sure our faith is authentic and viable.
Let's go back to chapter 3. Here we are in this chapter, they're crossing the Jordan. This begins and is the beginning of the Joshua generation. So beginning with verse 1, chapter 3. So Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from the acacia grove and came to the Jordan River, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. And so it was, after 3 days, that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. And yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves. And by the way, the idea of sanctifying yourselves was very practical. It meant you take a bath. In those days, they didn't take baths and showers daily like we do. That's a luxury that only rich people would do in ancient times. But for special occasions, you would bathe from head to toe. And the second thing, after you had bathed, you would put on a new, fresh set of clothes. And to sanctify yourself meant get washed, get clean, get on some new clothes. You're about to step into a new role or a new identity or into new places you've never been before. So Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. In other words, tomorrow you're going to see a miracle of God to the whole nation. So then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. And here it is. The Lord told Joshua, I want you to take the Ark of the Covenant, which is an earthly model of the heavenly throne of God. God would bring his divine heavenly presence down on this earthly Ark of the Covenant. And God says, I'm going to be with you, and my cloud and my glory will go with you and go before you. God was moving in a new way into a new land. And he's not only there to deliver his people, he's there to deliver even the Canaanites. He is there to show that their gods are fake, false idols, and dead, that he is the true living God. In Exodus 33, verse 14, here's what he promised them. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. In Numbers chapter 10, verse 35, it says, so it was whenever the ark set out, so the cloud would lift in the wilderness and begin moving, and the children of Israel would follow behind. Every time the cloud lifted and began moving, and they would strike their tents and say, I guess we're moving today further into the promised land. Moses said, rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee from before you. So since the people, you know, Father God is saying, you children have never been this way before, so I go first, you follow behind me, I'm taking you into a way you've never been, into a land you've never seen, and you'll need me to lead you and to guide you and to follow as you follow me. So I want to say this. I believe that we are a Joshua generation. And by saying that, I want to say this. What I hear as I am praying for you, as I pray for us, as I pray for the church, for such a time as this, that the heart of our Father is saying, Son, I want my church in this world to understand they are highly blessed, highly favored, highly chosen. You know, and I, for no reason of our own, were somehow chosen to live in this hour. Of all the times in history, it is not perchance, it's not by accident, God specifically knowing you, designing you, planning on you before he ever said, let there be light. He knew you from eternity past and has looked forward to you being born and living, and he planted you at this time for a specific reason. So we have an inheritance that God has for this generation that we are called to step into. But man, we want to make sure it's a land where there are other gods, there are other philosophies, and the demons are behind those other philosophies and ways of living. They're what had brought the corruption within the Canaanite society that was filled with violence and corruption and darkness of the worst possible kind you could imagine. And behind that were demons. And so it was the glory of God that had to go before. He, just like he had done in Egypt, would knock down the false ideologies, the false philosophies, the fruitless ways that lead only to death and destruction for families and children and for a future. God would bring the idols down that he might not only save and redeem Israel, but through them start saving and redeeming even some of the Canaanites. And Rahab is the classic example of that. So we need to follow the Lord, and we need to stay as close to him as possible. Now look with me in verses 7 and 8. It says, and the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. We always look and say, wow, God was really with, you know, the people we look up to and admire that came before us, but that are now dead. And we should honor them, and we should respect them, and revere them, and love them, and bless them, and learn from them, and glean from them. But here's a word from our Father for us. As I was with them that you love and so admire, so I am with you. What I did for them, I want to do for you. What I did through them, I am willing now to do through you. Verse 8, you shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. I want you to underline the word stand. You're going to come up to the River Jordan, and God does something totally brand new. We always look at, you know, what God has done in the past, and we study it. We go, okay, this is the pattern, and then we want to do it again. But God is doing something new in the Joshua generation that he didn't do in the Moses generation. And what he asked, you know, basically 40 years earlier, the children of Israel had been in a predicament. And, you know, they'd been released on the night of Passover. And then they fled, you know, just a little ways into the wilderness. And the next thing you know, they were trapped. They had mountains on this side, mountains on that side. And then Pharaoh's barreling down with his chariots, chasing them. They're trapped in the Red Sea in front of them. They can't move. So what does God say? Moses, lift up your rod, your staff. Moses lifted up his staff, and God, it says, blew with his nostrils a powerful, strong east wind. And it was so strong, the wind divided the Red Sea. It was as if God did walls of water on either side and dry. And we're like, wow, a miracle. And the children of Israel walked across. The Pharaoh chased after them, and then God collapses it. And so the horse and rider thrown into the sea. Well, now here they are, and you would expect, oh, okay, now we have the Jordan River, and as we'll find out a little later, I think in around verse 15, it was the worst time possible to cross the Jordan River. God made them cross when it was flood time. The river was extra big and extra wide so that it overflowed its banks. And why does God do that? Why does God wait till the worst possible? Has you ever found out that God does that? It gets worse and worse and worse. And God, here's what I found. God loves drama. I'm not so thrilled with drama sometimes. He loves drama. The worse it gets, the more excited he gets. Oh, why? Because when the miracle finally comes, you know to your bones, that's God. No human way to explain it, no natural way to explain it, that was God. And that's what God wanted to do. But here's the thing, you expect Joshua, okay, raise your staff, Joshua, and you let the Jordan pass. He says, we're not doing that this time. You carry me on the shoulders of priests. And that says a lot about God. He's the creator of the universe, and he wants to be carried on the shoulders of men. Isn't that cool? He wants to be so close to us, we're literally carrying him, as it were, upon our shoulders. He says, but I'm not going to part it until the priests walk into it and step into it. So here's the next life lesson. There comes a time when we must get our feet wet and take a step of faith. Why did God do it differently? I think part of the reason is that, if you remember, Passover night was really the night the nation of Israel was born, you might say. They were a baby that had just been born, just delivered. But now they've walked with God for 40 years. They've seen his miracles. They've followed him. They know that he's a good dad and that he can put, you know, water out of a rock and he can rain bread from heaven. And so now he says, you've grown up a little bit, so I'm going to do a miracle, but you're going to participate in the miracle. So I want my priests to carry me, and you walk until the water is up to their loins into the river. When you take a step of faith, when you get your feet wet, then I'll do the miracle. So what is faith? As we read Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter, we discover that all the men and women listed and that are mentioned for their great faith did something because they believed God. Their faith was not merely a feeling, it was an active force. A lot of times we think of faith as, I believe that God is, he's the creator. Therefore, God can do anything. And we think that's great faith because we think in our heads that God is wonderful and he is awesome. But actual faith, and the kind of faith that saves, the kind of faith that delivers, the kind of faith that brings the kingdom, the kind of faith that brings the miraculous, is faith that does something. They literally had to move their feet forward in the direction of that God's presence was leading them, and they had to take a step and step into the water before the miracle happened. So because Abraham believed God, he physically began moving from Ur of Chaldees and headed to Canaan. Because Moses believed God, he defied the gods of Egypt and freed the children of Israel. Because Gideon believed in God, he led a small band of Jewish freedom fighters to defeat the huge Midianite army. So sometimes we're waiting for God. Okay, God, when you open the way, when you part the Red Sea, when you do the miracle, then I'll follow. Because he's done it for us in the past. And God is saying, actually, I'm ready to do the miracle, but I need you to step into the water. You need to step out in faith. So read with me James chapter 2, verse 26. Let's read this scripture out loud together. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So here's a question that I ask all of us. What step of faith do I need to take to demonstrate that I believe in God today? What is he requiring of you? And if you're in a place where you're stuck and you're frozen and you're like, well, I don't know, I'll wait for God to move and then I'll step in, move forward. And God is saying, no, I'm waiting for you. You take a step, you move in, get your feet wet, go for it. Sometimes you just have to wait on the Lord and you pray and you listen to wise counsel and then you have to go, as they say, with your gut. The Spirit leads us from deep within in our belly and you step out in faith. And God then opens the way. God then performs a miracle. And if it happens to be, you know, we get so afraid, oh, what if it's the wrong way? Well, then the Lord will close the door and he'll say, no, son, now it's this way. Now you know. So we don't have to overstress. If we make a mistake, it's okay. We're children. We're growing. We're learning. But he will love it when you take a step of faith. He will honor it. And he'll make sure you get exactly where you need to go. Okay, let's go back to our story, verse 9. It says, "So Joshua said to the children of Israel, 'Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God.' And Joshua said, 'By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites and site after site after site. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribe of Israel, one man from every tribe, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap." So God reiterates to them, once you step into the water and make a choice and trust in me, then the miracle will happen. I love this. In verse 9, he says, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out the Canaanites before you." He is the living God, and he can defeat the dead idols and the heathen nations that inhabited that. And so as soon as your feet touch in that place, you'll have a new identity, a new inheritance. Go in and enjoy that inheritance. It says in verse 14, "So it was, when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still." There's the miracle. Isn't that perfect? Just like God said, their feet went into the water. As soon as it did, upstream, God started putting a wall of water upstream. And very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan, "So the waters that went down into the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho. And then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan." So here's our last life lesson. On that day, the nation was baptized through the Jordan River. The day a nation changes its mind is a day of revival. I'm praying for revival. I believe that God wants to see a revival. God is not willing that any should perish, not even one. But God wants all men to repent and come to know him and become reconciled to our Creator, to our Father who is in heaven. But in order to come there, we have to have a new identity. We have to come into covenant relationship with God. Jesus put it like this in Matthew 4:17, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of heaven is right here. But you have to change your mind, change your way of thinking in order to receive the kingdom. And that's what the word repent means. It means to change your mind and then change your direction or your behavior so that you can come into alignment with God. So that day, the nation had to have a new identity than they'd had in the past. I'm going to put it this way. This is the day a new Israel received a new identity. Now, back in Egypt, they had a slave identity. 400 years, I'm a slave, my parents were slaves, my grandparents were slaves, and after generationally, there gets a mindset of, I'm a slave, I'm trapped, I have no options, I can't get out of here. And they had developed that for over 400 years. But when God delivered them in the wilderness, they had a survival identity. Whew, God saved us, God delivered us, God brought us into the wilderness, but now they were just surviving from miracle to miracle. God never intended for them to stay in the wilderness or to continue with a survival mentality. He wanted them to keep going forward. And here's what the Lord has for us. Now they must receive an inheritance identity. There are many people, you know, yeah, I was in, you know, bondage to sin and to the devil and the world and the flesh and all of that, and then I got saved, and then I'm born again, and I'm going to heaven, and but I'm just surviving. You know, I'm living life, and I'm just waiting until I die, and it gets all, you know, better in heaven. But I want to share with you, I believe what God is saying is, no, even before we get to heaven, the kingdom of heaven, we can start sharing a divine inheritance here and now on the earth. Anybody interested in that? You don't have to wait. And there's a whole territory of new, divine, glorious things that if we get the mindset that I am greatly beloved of God, He just is in love with me. And we let go of our old identity, our false identity. Now look, I've you know, been a preacher for many years, and I've listened to many preachers over the years, and many that are so good and so gifted, and then a few that they had the right idea, but the wrong way of delivering it sometimes. They wanted to drill into you the idea that you're a sinner, but then, which we all are, but then they would drive in, and not only are you a sinner, you're a worthless sinner. You're worthless. And so for a while you buy into that. Oh, that's my identity. I'm a worthless, no good for nothing, little sinner. You know? And you think that's what God has for you. We need to correct that. And biblically, it's not really right. And that's why I leave you with this. You know, when Paul wrote the letters to the churches, in Ephesians chapter 1, the way some preachers have preached it, it would sound like this: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the downright dirty, rotten, scoundrel, worthless little people that live in Ephesus. But that's not what it says. What does it say? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We will never forget that we are sinners who have, but we're not just sinners and worthless sinners. We are sinners saved. We are sinners who have been redeemed. We are sinners who are greatly beloved. We are sinners who have been transformed. We are sinners who are now the sons of God and the daughters of the living God. And we now have been transformed, and I have a saintliness, but the holiness is not mine. It's the Jesus who came to live inside of me, and little by little He's changing me and making me more and more into His image. So I'm going to grow up to the full measure of the stature of Jesus Christ and rule and reign with Him for all of eternity. Amen.
Great encouragement today from Pastor Ray Bentley from our studies in the book of Joshua here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message, contact us and mention Baptized into New Identity. It's available on CD for just $7. And again, that title, Baptized into New Identity. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Joshua on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. And we're excited to make available Pastor Ray's latest book, The Holy Land Key. Pastor Ray, how does this resource help us make sense of our world? You know, our culture seems to be spinning out of control. We see examples all around us in the news every day. How will your book help us seek God in the midst of the foggy chaos?
Oh, that's a great question. And one of the things that I learned about prophecy is that it's not only predicting the future. God knows everything. God tells us what's coming. We have signs that we can be looking for, and I think we see many of those signs happening in the world right now. But the other layer is that God reveals patterns. There are things that have already happened in history, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There are patterns that are happening right now on the earth that really, for a believer, point us to look up, for Jesus is coming soon.
All right. Well, we hope you'll dig into these important insights yourself by way of Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. With all that's going on in the world, you can't afford to be unaware of what God has told us about the times in which we live. We'll be glad to send you The Holy Land Key. It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. So write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Joshua. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.